Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. From her home on the coast of Italy's beautiful Lake Garda, Lisa Marie Simmons collaboratively leads two different ensembles, Hippie Tendencies and Note Speak, each deeply but differently informed by the struggles and triumphs in her own life. Born in Colorado, Lisa began singing at a very young age and was a featured soloist with the Boulder Youth Choir. At 19, she moved to New York City to study theatre and music at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts and perform in pop, funk, soul, blues and jazz bands throughout the Manhattan club circuit at night. From 1993 until 1997, Simmons explored and performed music in Amsterdam, Costa Rica, St. Martin and France, where she began to compose her own music and lyrics. She continued her travels through Central and South America and eventually returned to Europe. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here, Leanne. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really excited to share your story. So should we get started?
Yes, please. Let's.
Excellent. All right. Do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Right now in this moment, I am in Italy, which is where I'm based and where I live, though I'm an American singer-songwriter. And I've just had a really exciting time. In April, I was nominated for an Independent Music Award. So I went to that ceremony in New York City, Lincoln Center, and that was a fantastic experience. And then I was in Colorado, and I was a panelist and a performer at the Conference on World Affairs, which is another huge thing for me. And it was an amazing, gorgeous, wonderful experience. So right now, I'm just trying to, you know, continue the momentum that was created by those two wonderful experiences and, you know, keeping in touch with all the people that I've met and following up on some other invitations that came because of that. And so, and as I always am, I'm terribly busy.
Yeah, it sounds that way. So do you want to tell us a bit about your story? Where have you been to get to this point?
So, I don't even know where to begin because it's so long. So I was adopted in Colorado when I was 7 years old or 8 years old. And there's a lot of stuff that happened before that and after, and people can read about that on my blog if they're interested. But I just recently found my birth mother, and I met her when I was in Colorado for the Conference on World Affairs. She came to see me, drove 17 hours from Shreveport, Louisiana. So right now in my life, that's like this line has been drawn between what I knew before and what I know now. And my story, before having met her, big part of my identity as a Black American growing up with a white family, because my adoptive mother was white, and I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, which is an extremely white town. It was really about trying to find my identity. Who am I? What defines me? And like I said before, meeting my mother, it was really just about finding that through music. And through words, through growing up and listening to my mother read to us and Tolkien and all of the classic sort of books that you read to children had a huge influence on me. I've gotten away from you asked me what my story is. Yeah. So that I was like, what's the question? No.
You're doing good.
So yeah, like I said, the story is pretty, pretty complex from Boulder, Colorado, I went to New York City. I studied music and theater. And then from there, I went to Europe, just following the music around. And I lived for years in France, a couple of years in France. And I lived in the Caribbean and then South America, Amsterdam. I worked with a theater company in Amsterdam and eventually made my way here to Italy, just following my dreams and writing songs, performing, writing for other people. and writing poetry, and that's my life.
Wow, some sort of life. I love it. You know, so many places you've been to.
That's like the teeny, teeny, tiny in a nutshell, what's my story? Like, that's such a hard question to answer. And I think it was sort of rambling, and I do apologize to your listeners for that.
No, that's wonderful. So I was just wondering, like, with the different changes you've made, have there been points where, like, a tipping point for change where you've gone off into a different direction or maybe change location?
Most certainly. I mean, well, location, as I was saying many times, but that was mostly because of the music. I think one of the big tipping points for me, one of the big moments of change for me, was when I was trying to decide between whether to pursue theater or music, because those were both my two passions, and I studied both. And in New York City, I got to a point where some people had come to hear me and encouraged me musically, and I began writing a lot. And that is the moment when I made the decision to become a singer-songwriter rather than a author, or rather than principally a actor. And I guess it was a pretty much of a lightning bolt. I mean, I came to Europe the first time, came to France. And performed and just felt at home, you know, on stage. And so I think that's probably the moment where I said, okay, this is the right thing to do, is to be a musician. I was very intimidated, because I think acting came easily to me, whereas singing, it took me a lot more work, and I was a lot shyer about and intimidated by all the artists that I'm so in love with, and thinking I'll never ever be as good as any of those people. And I didn't have those sort of doubts in acting. So that was why I think it was difficult for me to make that change. And just having that little bit of encouragement, and just feeling really at home finally on stage, hadn't helped me to make that decision.
So what about the challenges along the way? Have they, you know, any that you've thought, well, and I'm just going to throw in the towel, I can't keep doing this?
Gosh, every day? No,
No.
just kidding. Being an independent, do-it-yourself, a DIY musician, there are so many challenges constantly. And growing up, as I mentioned previously, as a black woman in, or a black girl in a very white, predominantly white town, I faced a lot of racism, you know, a lot of challenges as far as searching for my identity, as I was saying before, being adopted, a lot of stuff related to that. Unfortunately, also when I was a child, I was abused heavily in my adoptive home. So there was that, getting over that challenge as well. So I think my life has been full of them. And fortunately, I've got a really resilient character. And that's helped me to face these challenges. But I think it's mostly about taking, like a bee says, taking lemons and making lemonade. You know, it's about finding the silver lining, finding the good in every situation, and believing that it's there. And the other thing I really believe in, all these sound like cliches when you say them quickly and out loud, but I do believe that we can create our fate. We can create our future. And I've seen it in my own life, and that's what I've done. That's what I've seen the future with my eyes, and just, I mean, in my mind's eye, and just said, I want to live, and I want to survive, and I want to thrive. I don't just want to, you know, get by. And I visualize that, and nobody really told me that as a kid, but then I did come across mentors who helped me recognize that in myself. One mentor that I have that I mention all the time, her name is Rita Cotter, and she was a drama teacher for me as a high school kid. And she taught me so much, and a lot also about that, about visualizing what you can do with your life.
Yeah, it's a
In
powerful
fact,
tool.
it really is. And my story in the 1,000 Ripples is about that.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that too, being involved in such a wonderful project.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm so happy to be. It's I just love the concept of it, and anything that I can do to encourage the youth, I'm happy to do. And actually, not just the youth, but anybody who, I try to lend myself to anybody who might ask or need me to, and as much as I can without stretching myself too thin.
That's it, isn't it? So what about, putting one foot in front of the other? Do you have like a big vision for the future? Like you're saying you do visualizations, that do you envision the future in a certain way? Or what is it that keeps you going each day?
Oh gosh, future is for me to continue writing. Every new song, every new poem, every new blog, every new friend. Just speaking with you and meeting you and hearing you is something that I hope can I'll be able to see you again and hear you again in the future. I think ever I try to just hold on to every moment and create and let that bloom and create more from it. But on a more sort of earthy level, I'm working on a new album for both my Hippie Tendencies band. I have a band that is sung, and then I have a band of stuff that's more sort of spoken word jazz stuff that's note speak that just is just coming out now. So I'm working on note speak and touring with that, and then I am writing songs for a new Hippie Tendencies album. So yeah, that's like
Wow.
the concrete stuff that I'm doing in
Yeah.
the future.
Oh, wow. That is like, it's keeping you very busy, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's good. It's good. I love it.
So, what
Not
about
complaining.
oh, yeah, it sounds wonderful. What about an ignition point? Has things really started taking off at a certain point in your life?
Well, I guess this family, discovering my family is really going to be a huge focus for me artistically and just as a person, I had always said before I met my family that, family is who we make, who we choose. We can choose our family, create our families. That blood is not necessary to feel fulfilled. And these were things that I told myself and believed, and I still believe to a certain extent, because otherwise it's just too painful, isn't it? And so it's sort of I have to sort of rearrange my worldview. Now that I've found my blood and it's been a lovely experience because I was prepared. I blogged about it, and anybody who's interested can follow my blog and read the whole thing from beginning to end. But I was really not, as I was saying before, I did not think that it was something that was essential to me. But when I met my mother and held her in my arms, and she me and talk to my sisters online, something shifted and I really felt it, and they're wonderful. And as I was saying, I was prepared for it to be all kinds of bad, it could, and which it easily could have been. There's nowhere written that you have to like your family, or they're gonna like you, or they're gonna understand what you're about, or you're so different. But I've had the best experience that anyone could hope to have, and I feel incredibly lucky for that. And I know that's going to affect all of my work from here on out.
I sort of relate in a way because I'm adopted as well. So
Are
it's
you?
yes, I am. So I'm just loving hearing your side of and your take on it because you don't talk to too many people that are adopted. So it's finding people that you
It's
can share that experience.
true. Oh my gosh. Well, see, now I want to interview you. What is your experience like? Are you interested at all in finding out your birth parents, or have you already, or are you interested?
I'm interested, yeah. It's not something I've done because, as you said, you tell yourself these stories to, you don't need to have the blood family and that you're happy the way you are and you make your life and that sort of stuff. So that's where I've been.
Wow, that's so fascinating. The only reason I actually did the work, because I had through the years I had been curious about my birth family, but it was quite difficult, especially before internet, to even begin. And I had no information, zero, because in the States they just decide that there's a line and you cannot, they don't want once your parents have given you up for adoption, they don't, that's it, you know, or that used to be the way it was in the 60s. Now, a lot of states are changing the laws, and Colorado in September, when I was presenting Note Speak at the Jaipur Literature Festival, at the same time, Colorado had just opened up the laws about adoption, allowing us to get our original birth certificates. Mm. So I thought, why not? I mean, it wasn't honestly like, okay, I've been waiting to do this. It was more sort of, okay, the opportunity's there. Let me try what's going to happen. And as I began the process, then I really wanted to dig in. And then I got excited and curious. And there's so much more to come. I met one of my brothers. I have four siblings from my mother's side. And I talk to them every day. Wow. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And my mother sends me messages every day. I'll tell you a story about my mother and then I'll stop talking and let you ask the question. as I was telling you before we started recording, yesterday was my birthday, right? So I get this package in the mail, and this is what I was working on, the blog that I was working on when you called as well. I'm going to put that out there soon. So I get this package in the mail from my mother, and she keeps sending me messages saying, have you got the package yet? Have you got the package yet? So I open it up, and it's this big stack of envelopes. And I thought, oh, isn't that sweet? She got the whole family, because the family's huge. She's got four sisters. I mean, it's enormous. I thought she got everybody to write me a letter, you know, in the family. So I open up the first one, and I see like a big number one on it. And I open it up and it's like, my baby girl, you're turn one today. And a little message. And I go through the stack and it's every year of my life, every birthday, she got a card and she wrote some beautiful piece of advice in it. Like, you're 5 years old now, you're starting kindergarten. You're gonna find your new best friend. Choose wisely. All the way up until today. It was the most beautiful package I've ever received. I mean, can you imagine the work that she put into that and the joy? I mean, it was just so touching, so heartwarming, so beautiful. And that's why I'm blogging about this, because I know there are people like you and that are, you know, all around the world who are curious, and some are scared to go look. Some are not. And it's just, I just think that sharing this journey can be a positive thing for people. And I started it before I knew whether it would be a positive end or not to it. You know, so I was prepared for it to be, and I don't know what's going to happen on my father's side. So that's not done yet. So, but I think it's important to, on big questions like that, if you can share and be open and help anybody else who might have, you know, open a dialogue even just to talk to you about this. I love it that you're adopted and that this is opened up right here.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Because I know there's, for a long time, no one really spoke of it. And like you, I was in the 60s as well. And here in Australia, it was the same sort of thing. It was very closed. You didn't find out about anything. And now with adoptions, yes, it's more open, and we have been able the opportunity now to get original birth certificates and things like that and start finding out more. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a story you don't hear enough about, I think, because there are a lot of adopted children, and you know, they need to talk about it.
They do. And so many people are, as I was saying, you know, it can have such a negative impact if you don't look at it and think about it and do the things like you and I did about, you know, finding a way to create your identity despite that, you know. I've written so many songs about how blood is not important, you know. and today I'm writing something, you know, the evolution of that thought. Mm. I still do believe that. I still do believe that you create your family. And also because just look at how many dysfunctional families that are around that are blood. You know, that's no guarantee for a happy life. Yeah. Just because you grow up with the people who share your blood. But anyway, it's all fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Love talking to you about it. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. This is wonderful. And so, you know, there are no coincidences.
No, I know. I'm with you there. So that's a really exciting thing that's happening in your future, like getting to know your blood family a lot more and be involved yes. there. What else is exciting for you to look forward to in the future?
Well, after this has been a really fruitful year artistically for me, as I was mentioning before with the Independent Music Awards and the conference. And so I look forward to continuing to get onto bigger stages and have the opportunity to, one of the things that I loved about the Conference on World Affairs was that the people, the other panelists who were there, are all so accomplished. And so fascinating. And my desire is to do more of those sorts of things, you know, academic panels, because I just love the discourse and the exchanging of ideas. I find it really inspiring and invigorating. So I'd like to do more of that. And I look forward to continuing my artistic path as far as musically is concerned. You know, I've both my band Hippie Tendencies and Notespeak are evolving and changing and growing, and I just look forward to continuing that process. Yeah. And my blog too. My blog is relatively new. I've been writing it for about a year and a half, and I'm having the greatest time doing it. You know, I'm all about words. I love words. It's a love affair.
Oh, that's wonderful. I look forward to reading some, actually, especially this one that you're writing at the moment.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a change in pace and do the speed round.
Okay.
Here we go. What's your favorite book?
There are so many, but if I have to choose one, I guess 100 Years of Solitude, Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Yeah, wonderful book. Who's the mentor figure that's helped you the most?
The woman I mentioned previously, I think Rita Cotter would be number one. Just a wonderful, incredible woman.
What daily ritual works best for you?
Yoga in the morning, writing every day.
Oh, love it.
Can I say two? Yeah, daily rituals.
What about favorite food?
Oh, I love to eat. I'm in Italy. Let's say lasagna for this moment.
Sounds wonderful. Do you like the country or the city?
Oh my gosh. Both for different reasons. Mm-hmm. If I'm writing, both for different reasons. It depends on what I'm doing. I love to perform in the city. I love to write in the city because there's a different energy, but I also love to go and write in the country because it's a little bit, can slow it down and be a little bit more introspective, whereas the city maybe is like a lot of external factors that come in and affect you. I love the city for the possibility of seeing great art and just being involved in that great energy. But the country is where you can replenish and refresh. And so I don't think I can't choose between, there's not one that I like best.
What's a piece of advice you can give to others to help them make change in their life?
I think be truthful to yourself, look inside your heart and be open to it. Be open to whatever you find within yourself. Be brave. Be kind. Because what you put out comes back. I guess those are the biggest pieces of advice I could give.
Yeah, great advice. Great advice. So last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
If I could go back in time, I would certainly have studied more musically than I did when I was a kid. I had a little wild child phase when I went into New York City, where I just, you know, it has a lot to do with all the stuff that happened in the past. But I think rather than letting myself go quite so wild, I think I would have been a little bit more contained and a little bit more studious. And I would tell my former self that the pain goes and that hard work is what it's about. And that's what's going to pay off. And that's what's going to make you happy.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for your valuable time and sharing your story. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you? And we'll end it there.
Sure. I guess the best place to see me is at my website, which is lisamariesimmons.com. And that's Simmons is S-I-M-M-O-N-S. So lisamariesimmons.com. And you can, with that name, also find me on Facebook. Happy to accept new friends. And you can also find me, you can email me at li@lisamariesimmons.com. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram and everything else. It's just Google my name and it'll all come up.
And we'll find you. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for having me. And thanks people who are, to all the listeners also.
Igniters, what a beautiful soul is Lisa. Her generosity in sharing her journey of being adopted is so appreciated. I love how she says we can create our future. If you want to find out more about Lisa, go to her website, lisamariesimmons.com, or find her on Facebook or Instagram. For finding out how you can create your amazing future, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.